Adventure alert! Before we kick off today's episode, I have some exciting news. For several years, people have been asking for us to do 1,000 hours outside trips, so this year, we're giving it a go. Our very first trip, the Michigan Microadventure Trip, is happening this August in Michigan's beautiful Upper Peninsula. It sold out in just 24 hours, and I'm thrilled to share the following news. We will also be having a 1,000 hours outside trip in Moab, Utah, this coming September. Joining me today on the podcast is Hannah Dunlop, a river guide from Moab Adventure Center in Moab, Utah. I've actually been waiting for months to release this episode in order to announce to the 1,000 Hours Outside community that we have planned our first ever Moab rafting adventure coming this September. You can learn more about it at 1000hoursoutside.com/Moab rafting. Last summer, my daughter and I had the most surreal experience when we partnered up with Moab Adventure Center for the adventure of a lifetime, and we're doing it again, but this time, we are opening up the trip for a small number of families to join in. This September 4th through 8th, you can join my family and me on a 5-day river rafting adventure in Moab, Utah, as we embark on a fully guided 80-plus mile trip down the Green River, where we will camp along the banks of the river, eat prepared delicious meals together, and completely unplug from the outside world. It's like nothing you've ever experienced before. There will be other optional adventures the day before we head out onto the river, like canyoneering and Hummer tours, but the crown jewel is the unbelievable 5-day rafting trip through Desolation Canyon. Space will be super limited, so make sure you head over to 1000hoursoutside.com/Moab rafting to learn more about registration. All right, here we go.
Hey.
Welcome to the 1000 Hours Outside podcast. My name is Ginny Urich. I'm the founder of 1000 Hours Outside, and I could not be more excited about the guest we have today, Hannah Dunlop. Welcome.
Thanks, Ginny. I'm so excited to be here.
This is awesome. This is a first for us. We are talking today about outdoor careers and things that you could do throughout your life, or maybe things that you might want to do, like in the transition years when you're in college, during the summer. I was just at, there is an island near where we live in Michigan. It's called Mackinac Island. And we were there this summer with a friend, and she was saying, like, I wish in college I would have come and worked here for one summer. Like, you only get to live once. And so when we came to Moab, Utah, and went with the Moab Adventure Center, we went on this rafting trip, 5 days down the river. We did a canyoneering thing. We did like this Jeep adventure, and we just fell in love with our guides. Wow, Hannah. I mean, it was incredible. And so you are one of the guides for Moab Adventure Center. What an awesome treat to have you here. Can you just give us a little backstory about your life? What are you into, and how did you end up at the Moab Adventure Center?
Yeah, sure. That could be the longest story ever, but I guess basically just to sum it up, I'm originally from Jackson, Wyoming. That's where I was born and raised. So I grew up doing all sorts of outdoor stuff like climbing and skiing, and just kind of lived in that sphere of my life, just outside all the time, like growing up that way. I was in the mountaineering club in high school, which was super fun because we have that in Jackson, which is awesome. And then I started college, and then my cousin actually worked for the Adventure Center before I did. And she was like, I think you would love this job so much. And I was like, I think you're right. So I applied for the job. They wanted to have me, and I've been doing it for 3 years now. I'm a river guide down there. So 3 seasons in, and it's so fun.
Wow, Hannah. Well, this is a really big deal because when I was talking to one of the founders, I'm not quite sure. Actually, I don't know. He's been involved like since he was a child. I think if generationally, I can't totally remember the ins and outs, but he was saying, but it's like a prestigious position. Like he said something like, let's say 100 people apply, they might only select 2. I mean, it was a pretty wild, the amount of people that they're turning away. So huge congrats to you. What was that process like for you to apply?
I would say it's definitely like, it's a process that you go through. So basically what they have you do is you make a resume and a cover letter, then you send it over to all the main guys over there, and they go through them all. And then because I was applying during like COVID, when that was going on, we had a Zoom interview. Usually you like go and see them, but I think they've actually transitioned to doing all Zoom interviews just because there's so many people. So you just have a Zoom interview with them, and they talk to you and kind of ask you questions, just get to know you a little more. And one thing that I have been told by them is that usually what they're looking for is like, could I spend 5 days in deep backcountry on the river with this person? I know, right? Like, you're gonna have to think of all the like possibilities of people you could get, but it's definitely like a cool process. And I was lucky enough to be one of the people they chose. So that's kind of how that process goes. It is definitely a little more like in depth than I feel like a lot of other job applications I've had before, but it was definitely super worth it.
Hannah, wow. I mean, what a testament to yourself. Truly. It is so interesting because that really is the main piece. They are bringing people in from all over the country, all over the world, families, friend groups, all sorts of different scenarios. And you put your life in the hands of, you know, these couple people, and you spend all of this time together. So I love that, that is really the defining feature of trying to find employees to work at a place like a Moab Adventure Center. And I know there's other places like that around the country. It's just real cool. I mean, people from all different walks of life listen to this podcast, and we've got kids that are getting close to graduating from high school. So I think it's fantastic to know what kind of things are out there that you could do for summer work or year-long work. So you go through this interview process, they deem you as someone that anyone could spend 5 days with in the wilderness. And I remember Brian saying that was even more important than the technical skill. He's like, we can teach the technical skills, but we really obviously are keying in on the personality. Once you got hired, then what does that look like? Do you get to kind of pick and choose? You know, I know you're talking about being a river guide. There's so many options of things. How do people end up in their different spots?
Yeah. So originally when I applied, I told them I wanted to be a river guide. Like, that was the thing that I wanted to do. So usually what happens when you apply to work at the Moab Adventure Center is you'll usually end up working like at the actual adventure center. Like, I'm sure you met all like the amazing people that work at the front desk. That's usually where you start. And it's actually really cool because you get to learn all the ins and outs of like all the different adventures that we have. And we even got to, for like our training, we got to go on like most of them, which was super fun because we just got to go do all these fun experiences like zip lining and like the Hummer tour, which I heard you went on, and it's so fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, so usually what happens is you end up working at the Moab Adventure Center first, just to kind of like get your foot in the door, get a feel for what you're doing. But there are like situations where people get put immediately on the river, or like we have canyoneering guides that go like immediately to canyoneering. But my first season was kind of super awesome because I started at the Moab Adventure Center, and then I got a call from Brian, and he was like, hey, we were wondering if you would want to also do the river while you work at the Adventure Center as like a hybrid position. And I was like, yeah, because that's what I was like. I was like, I want to be on the river. That'd be so fun. And I ended up, because I started in 2021. So that was kind of like after COVID, when people just like started rushing back in. Yeah. And people were like, oh, let's go like on a vacation in the United States. So we hit like, I think the biggest season Western and the Adventure Center has had. So they had me running like the Adventure Center, like driving the vans and also like being on the river. And then I also got the awesome opportunity to also do canyoneering tours and the climbing tours. So I was just like this juggling all of these fun things all summer. And it was cool because I had the skills from like beforehand, like high school, and like the things that I just love to do naturally were able to get me into these cool positions where I could help people do more stuff. So that's kind of what my first season looked like. And then my second season, I transitioned into solely just the river, which also so fun. And so I've done that, just river guiding, for about 2 seasons now.
Hannah, wow. Wow. I mean, it's such an interesting thing. Like, we went canyoneering, and basically I screamed through the whole thing. And then also on the Hummer Tour too. But the amount of skill there was exceptional. And then also just so personable, the guides that we went with. How did you know that the river was calling for you? Like, how did you know that was your thing that you really wanted to do?
I think it's definitely just always been something I wanted to do. I went, I guess really what kind of like triggered it for me was I went on a multi-day river trip in Idaho down the Salmon, the Middle Fork of the Salmon, which if you should go do that, because if you loved Desolation Canyon, you will love the Middle Fork. So fun. And I just remember being like, I had no idea this was even like an option for a job. Like I didn't think like nothing in my brain had like connected at that point. I was also like younger, but I was like, yeah. Oh my gosh, you can do this as a job. And I think just my like desire to always be outside and like the adrenaline junkie in me was like, this is so awesome and I want to do this so bad. So then when my cousin came to me and was like, I work here, I think you'd love it, come do this, it was like just this door opening in my life. And I was like, yeah, I have to do that because that is something I've wanted to do forever.
Wow, Hannah. Talk us through the timeline. Is this a post high school option? Is it more when you're kind of nearing the end of college? How does that work?
Yeah. So like, as far as like working at the Adventure Center, So we get like a ton of different age groups. I would say like, I've had people, one of my friends that worked there, like she had to like skip some of the training to like go to her high school graduation and then like come back and finish training. So we get people that come like straight out of high school. I started like after my like second year in college. And we even have people that are like have graduated, like left their real jobs to like come and do this. So you get a really good mix. But I'd say it's anywhere from like 18 years old to like almost 30. Like you can get a pretty good level in there. You do have to be 18 in order to guide, just as far as like safety goes.
Right. You can't be like 15.
Yeah. You're like, here's a 12-year-old. They're going to teach you how to rappel. Like, yeah, they could do it, I bet. But yeah, so that's kind of the, we get a good wide range of just 20s and stuff in that age.
Yeah. It's so fun. I mean, what a cool way to kick off your adult years. And it's just starting right out of high school. What an interesting option. And then I think people come back to change their careers. In fact, one of our guides, I think I talked about that. Like, eh, I'm not super happy in my career. I'm going to use this as a time to pivot or see if I like it. So, I mean, she was in her later 20s. So what a cool thing. All right. So tell us a specific thing about Moab Adventure Center, and maybe other places have this too. But for your specific company, they offer a place where you can live.
Yeah.
Is that where you're at right now? No, you're at college. You're at college right now.
No, I'm in my college apartment right now. Yeah, no, we call our Moab housing. I'm sure you've heard of the warehouse.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we want to know about it. Tell us about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's just this really big, like a building. And it's really awesome because we don't have to like commute to work. Unless you work at the Adventure Center, then you have to drive like 2 minutes. But we live like right next to our boat yard. So all the times we have to like put trips together or like de-rig our trips, we can just do it right there. And then like our house is like right down the hill from it. So it's super awesome. So there's just this big old warehouse. There's a girl's side and a boy's side in this big common area in the middle with the biggest couch you've ever seen in your entire life. It's so fun. And yeah, you can fit 4 people in each of the rooms on both sides. And we've got these like big bathrooms you can shower because you need to when you work this type of job. And it's just like really fun. It's just like living with like 50 like college students all in the same place that just love to be outside. They get excited about going and doing fun things. And I've met some of my literal like best friends, like the most amazing, incredible people I've ever been able to hang out with in my life working this job. So the warehouse is just like this like little community of like a family that we just run around and go crazy, but it's so fun.
I mean, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I feel like there could be a reality TV show called The Warehouse. Don't you think?
Oh yeah. We talk about it all the time.
Yeah. Two of our guys were dating on our river trip, but they were like kind of low key about it, but we totally figured it out. So
yeah.
I'm sure that there's so much that goes on there. That's really neat. So this is just a whole world that I didn't realize existed, you know, for summer work and work that's outside and work that is off the screen and really interactive. Okay. So tell us, we went on this trip, Desolation Canyon down the Green River, with, I don't know, 12, 15 people, and the guides do it all. They navigate the boats. They have a whole system for the food and for unloading and reloading and cooking everything. What is it like? I mean, is it stressful? Do you get nervous? I want to know about the guiding.
Oh man, I mean, it's definitely something you like learn. Like, there's a lot of things that also come like very naturally. Like, there's a lot of people, for example, who are very like extroverted. So, like, talking to people might be like really, really easy for you. But some people are just really good at like organization, or some people are just like naturally really good at being outside. And I feel like also coming back to like the application process, I feel like all like the big guys at the Adventure Center and Western are really good at like picking the people that are good at these things. I don't know how they do it, but they find them. But yeah, I mean, as far as like being a guide goes, it's wild. It's so fun though. I think I just find like a really like I just feel like whole when I'm guiding. Like, we can get really like deep into this, but I just feel like I'm doing just like what I love. And so even though sometimes it's like chaotic, or sometimes I'll be like rowing up to the next rapid and I'm like, I know this one can do some like damage, and I know this one's kind of tricky, and I can be nervous, but I'm doing what I love, so I'm able to like take it and just go with it. And also, I feel like we could have a whole other podcast about this too, but like the skills that you learn being a guide, I feel like have created just like built me up as a person. Like, I have learned incredible life skills from this job, like how to deal with difficult people, how to manage my time, or how to just like even just like doing things scared is something I've learned from this job. Because when you have a boat full of like six strangers whose lives like are literally in your hands, and you're just kind of nervous about a rapid, you're like, I can't be scared. You can't get out and walk. Like, you have to keep going. But it's also like as far as like the processes goes, like how we pack stuff up, like how we make meals, like all of that is learned. Everyone can learn that. And it's just fun to finally get in the rhythm of it. Like, I'm sure you saw it like on the trips, like you just everyone just knows where to go, what to do. And it's really fun to also learn how to like work as a team in that way, like with these people who you also have to trust. But I mean, yeah, I could talk forever about how much guiding means to me, but there's like a brief little sliver of
Yeah, no,
it.
I want to hear all of it. Well, let's talk about, I think everybody wants to know the answer to this question, Hannah.
Oh
How do you deal with difficult people?
my goodness. If I had like a prescription answer, I would give it to you. Honestly, I mean, it kind of depends sometimes.
Like, does a specific person come to mind? Like, you've done, I know I'm not asking for a name, but you've done all these trips. And I was interested, or I guess I was surprised, Hannah. Like, I went with my daughter, Vivian, and there was other families that were there and friends and things like that. And I was surprised how well we got to know each other in 5 days. I didn't expect that that was going to happen, but you do. And it's really a special. Random, isn't it random, Hannah? Like, here you are out in the middle of nowhere with these people that you had no idea you were going to be with, and you really get to have these like deep conversations. And it was surprising how well we got to know each other in that period of time. So when you look back over your trips and you kind of, you're joking a little bit, but yeah, sure. I mean, you get difficult people, even difficult personalities, or maybe they're scared to do stuff, or you can't maybe depend on them for this, that, or the other thing. Do specific people pop into your head?
I mean, I don't think I have like a list of people that I'm like, I remember you from this one time. But I feel like when mostly when we talk about like, we are also mostly joking when we say like difficult people, like, because what are difficult people other than just like people that are different from us, you know? But I think when I end up in these situations where I'm like, this person's kind of like it's a little hard for me to like handle or kind of help this person get somewhere. I think it's mostly just people who like sometimes they're just like when I was a canyoneering guide, sometimes it'd just be people who were like, I am so scared right now.
I mean, truth be told, Hannah, I am pretty sure. And we had Jess and Aubrey and Audrey that did our canyoneering trip. And I maybe will forever be their hardest person. I think I was. I mean, I actually think, I mean, I cried and screamed and had to be lowered down, like for both of the things that we went over. And I was hard and I was slow. Then I was slow hiking out. So, so basically the question is like, and you know what? They were so gracious. They were so sweet, but I was difficult. Yeah. I mean, I may be their most difficult that they'll ever have. Oh, but you know what? Everyone was so encouraging and dealt with it and got us out safely. And it's an experience I'll, remember for my entire life.
Mm-hmm. On weekends, we're typically off on another adventure, whether it's a scenic hike or a quaint town visit. I keep my Vessies with me because they effortlessly adapt to every twist and turn, ensuring comfort and style in our sometimes spontaneous escapades. Whether it's with the kids or just my husband and me, which is pretty rare, I love stepping into a great outdoor adventure with Vessies Stormburst boots to capture the beauty of springtime landscapes. Their robust style is perfect for our nature excursions, adding a little dash of elegance to our outdoor explorations. The Vessi collection caters to every style. Whether you're dressing up for a night out or gearing up for a weekend hike, these shoes seamlessly blend into your wardrobe while offering the practicality of waterproof footwear. Ready to refresh your spring wardrobe? Vessi has you covered with footwear that fuses style with practicality. Head over to vessi.com/outside to explore their versatile collection and automatically claim your 15% discount on your first order upon checkout. That's VESSI.com/outside for 15% off your first order.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepard-Ota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tiny humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
The managing time piece is really interesting too, Hannah, because that's a component that affects your whole life.
Yeah.
So talk about how being on the river helps you learn how to manage your time.
Yeah. So I think just like the number one thing is like, as far as managing time goes, like you're not just managing like yourself. You're kind of like literally, like I use the word guiding so much, but you're guiding a ton of people through like a day, like 5 days. So every day you got to like wake up, you got to make sure like you have breakfast ready on time so everybody can get their stuff packed. We can get on the boat so we're not like out in the middle of the day. We don't get to camp at dark so we can eat dinner later. Like it's definitely like a good schedule you have to follow. And obviously like you get the hang of it. You kind of get the feel for like how fast the water's moving. Or like if you have people who are slower, like, oh, if we're going to do this hike, we're going to need more time. But I think as far as like for me managing time, like a big thing about being out there and being on the rivers, you also have to like take care of yourself. So like, not only are you taking care of all these people and making sure that they're comfortable and that they've had enough food, which is not usually a problem on our trips. I'm sure you experienced that.
Right. The food was phenomenal.
Oh, good. Good. But yeah, like as far as like managing your time goes, like making sure you have time not only to like take care of everybody, but also take care of yourself. Because if you're exhausted, you can't take care of these people as well as you'd want to. So whether that's like even just like making sure everybody's working as a team to like get like all cleaned up at night on time. And even if you can't, like sometimes you just have to be like, come up to your like guides and be like, hey, can someone do this for me? Like, I just need 5 minutes to just like breathe for a second. Like I'm tired. But honestly, that we all just love it so much that usually we're just like in motion and we've learned to like, you just go until you drop, in like a good way. But definitely it's kind of like contributed to my life. Like there's things that like I need to get done, like in college or in real life or whatever. But like you just have learned to be able to not only get the things done that you need to do, but also like make time for yourself to also like thrive and like be able to like continue to like have your life and do things.
But
in kind of a weird way, I feel like that's time management, I guess.
Well, sure. I mean, it's an interesting piece. Like I remember when we were on our trip and our trip had three guides. I know it just depends on how many people are on your trip, but our trip had three guides. So they're cooking meals and snacks. It's meals and snacks for a large group of people for 5 days in a row. And then they're having to set up all of the cooking equipment, and they're having to set up their own things, their own cot. They're having to set up the groover, the toilet, yep. You know, that whole system. They're having to stake down the boats. So it's a lot of work going on. But then, you know, it's like, oh, they're hopping in the river to grab a quick, you know, to rinse off or that type of thing. And so, yeah, you would see how you learn how to manage a whole bunch of people, but also manage your own time and get those little breaks in that you need. And then, I mean, you sleep really good.
Yeah.
I think that was a thing that I was not expecting. I actually was expecting not to sleep good because you're kind of out of your element, but you're so tired.
Yeah. Because
uh-huh. you've been outside all day and you've done physical things. And so, I mean, I slept the best I slept in my life.
Oh, good.
On that trip. I mean, it was so restorative. And you wake up and you kind of wake up with the sun and you go to bed when the sun goes down, and it just, your body feels so good. And just to be disconnected from screens, I mean, it was a trip of a lifetime, Hannah. I just speak so highly of it to anyone I talk to. We talk about it a lot. Memories for forever. And so what a neat thing to be a guide on those. Would you say that you remember, like if you had to pick a percentage, what percentage of the guests do you think you remember?
Ooh.
Half? Less than half? All?
I don't, all is hard because they're like, you just cycle through
right.
so many. I think, especially like, I don't know, I think the like day trip that we do, like you just cycle through so many people. It's hard to remember everybody.
Yeah.
But I'd say like.
But a long trip, like the five.
I could be better at like journaling, but.
But like the 5 day yeah. trips. Like I'm like, yeah. oh, I wonder if my people remember me. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm sure they do, 100%.
It's kind of a bizarre thing, though, Hannah, because like we will remember our guides forever,
yeah.
right? It's interesting. It's a different perspective being on that end of it, someone that's taking you through. So I was, it's kind of an interesting thing. Like, who do they, I mean, you take trips constantly. I mean, it's just one after the next, after the next, after the next.
Yeah.
So you just meet so many different people. What would you say is the hardest part?
Oh, the hardest part? I think there's a couple different like hardest parts, like what's the hardest like physical part, what's the hardest like mental part. I could be like silly and say like, the hardest part is that it doesn't last forever or something, but
aww.
I definitely think the hardest part is like overcoming my own whatever like holds myself back, like whatever I doubt myself in or whatever I like think I can't do, but like pushing my own boundaries is sometimes like a little hard.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't think that would like it doesn't sound like that's something that like you would run into while you're guiding, but like mm-hmm. I think at least for me, I don't know if I can speak for like all my guide friends, but I think just growing yourself and challenging yourself and continuing to like have to push yourself is hard. And I think that's also just like yeah. a life thing that people yeah. everybody goes through. But yeah, I think just continuing to push my limits, even though like I love doing that. I think it's so cool to be like, I did that.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's hard.
No, I totally get it. I have actually have a book coming out on Tuesday. So in 4 days.
Oh my goodness. Congrats.
I'm flipped out. Well, thank you. But yeah. I flipped out about it because you never know. Like, you don't know. Is it going to land? Is it going to do well? And people are going to leave reviews, and it's a whole unknown. But I do think in life, you learn over time. Now I'm like decades older than you, but you learn over time that the things that you do that are scary usually pay off.
Yeah.
There's a payoff at the end. You do it and you're like, look, I did this river guiding trip and it really enhanced my life and it enhanced the life of other people. And so it feels worth it in the end. And that is definitely a huge life skill to learn, because you could look back and say, I was scared before and I did it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And look what came out of it. So then for the rest of your life, you have that foundation, which is so huge. But I think what you said too, that it doesn't last forever, is something that I wouldn't have thought of at all, Hannah. That part of the hard part is that you only get to do it for a season and then people move on. And, you know, there's some bittersweet there. Have you experienced that like in terms of friendships? Like, you know, some people say some people go, or even just thinking ahead, knowing I may not be able to do this forever. Like, what's that part of it like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think you probably, I don't know I'm sure you probably experienced this, like, just on your Desolation Canyon trip. Like, at the end, when everybody gets on the van and you wave at your guides, like, that part is, like, very bittersweet, I feel like, because you've all gone through this really cool experience together, and it has to come to an end at some point. And, like, kind of going back to, like, how many, like, of your guests do you, like, remember? Like, how many passengers do I remember? There's a good chunk, like, especially on the multi-day trips, where I'm like, I would have loved to continue to do that trip with this group of people. Like, you get groups that you're like, why can't we do this every week? Like, let's just go back, like, hop in the plane. We'll meet you guys up there. Like, let's do it again. And I think it's really, like, it's very bittersweet. Like, you just kind of, as a guide, live in this, like, bittersweet cycle where you, like, meet the people, you, like, learn about them, you hear their stories, you make jokes, everyone has these, like, experiences. It's so awesome, and then it has to, like, go. But also, it's so awesome because they continue to remember those things, and it's really cool. As a guide, I think one of the things that kind of makes it better for me is that they'll remember that forever, and I was able to be a part of that, and in a way was able to, like, help them facilitate that. Like, they were there with their families and I just made them dinner. Like, it's so fun to be able to be like, I helped and I was there for that. And it's cool to be able to be a part of that experience. But then also, like, what you were saying, like, do you ever feel that with, like, friends and stuff? And, like, some guides don't come back, or some guides only do it for a season, and you, like, definitely, like, miss them. You're like, you're not coming back. And it's, like, really sad. Or even when it comes, like, when school starts up again and everybody has to leave, like, once people start leaving, like, the just energy in the warehouse just gets, like, different, because everybody's like, all our friends are leaving. And so you definitely create, like, it's crazy that you create bonds not only with, like, the people you work with, like, forever friends I have from the warehouse and this job that I work, but also, like, just being on the river for 5 days with this random group of people that I just, they hopped out of a plane and I said, let's go. It's so cool that you create these experiences, and it's definitely, again, bittersweet all the time. But I think the sweet mostly outweighs the bitter in the way that, like, it's so awesome, but it's just sad that it's over, you know?
Well, and it's like, how many of us can say that we've had so many experiences like that? I mean, it really is beautiful to fill your life with those moments that you're sad to leave. Like, I feel, this is going to sound so weird, Hannah, but I love it when we have friends come over and then when they have to leave, their kids cry. I love that. I mean, it's like my favorite thing, because it means they had a good time. And I'm like, if they are sobbing, I'm like, all the better, because they liked it here and they don't want to leave. And so, you know, just to fill our lives with, like, a lot of those big moments that are sad when we're sad when they're over. And I think so many of our lives don't have that many of those. And, you know, the trips that you offer at the Moab Adventure Center, that's what they are. You're sad when they're over. In fact, we had to fly home for a baby shower or a bridal shower, something that was important. But if we wouldn't have, we would have gone on another trip. We would have gone on the Cataract Canyon one.
Oh, my goodness.
And actually, our trip was kind of bizarre. And I'm sure you had this past summer, where normally there's no bugs, but because the water level was high or something, all the snow, there were lots of bugs. And so when we first got off the plane, we, Vivian and I were both like, you know, and you're there, like, there's no going back. And so there we were. You know, but, like, by the end of it, you're like, I don't really want to go, because you just really get to live in the moment. And I think there aren't that many experiences like that, where your phone is completely put away and you're completely present. And it's just such a beautiful thing. One of the things that, you know, you talk about skills, and this is more of a practical one, but we had one of our guides was Piper, and she had generations in her family that had done these river trips. I think it went a couple generations back. And so she was saying, like, some of the ways that her mom prepared food even wove into their family. And she didn't really realize it until she became a guide. She was like, oh, that's where my mom learned to cut fruit like this. Oh, that type of thing. So tell us about the training. What is that like? You know, you get picked because you got this great personality and people could spend 5 days with you that have never met you before in the middle of nowhere. But then, I mean, you have to learn a lot. There's a lot of skill sets here.
Yeah, you definitely can't learn everything at once. Like, and our company is awesome because they train us in-house mostly. So we don't have to like go find all of these courses to take to get certified, because I don't know if any of you talked about this with any of your guides, but on like Desolation Canyon and Cataract Canyon and Westwater, you have to have certain certifications in order to like legally run it as a guide. Like you can't just get anybody off the street, obviously, to do it. Mm-hmm. And all of the stuff that I've learned, I just like, I'm kind of a rescue nerd. Like I love learning all these skills. So we do, as far as like the river guiding goes, I can kind of talk about canyoneering a little because I also did that. But mm-hmm. as far as the river goes, we get like, in order to prepare meals, we get our Utah food handler's permit.
Wow.
You have to like go through this course and learn all the things, because there's like regulations in the mm-hmm. canyons that you have to follow to like safely prepare food for people outside, and like the way we dispose of trash, like you have to learn how to do that. Even like how we like wash dishes, like I'm sure you remember like the dish buckets, like that's a system we have to use. That's not just like something random we thought up. So we get our food handler's permit. So, and then we also like go on training trips with the other guides and like the older guides and the managers, and they teach you how to make the meals, mm-hmm. which is really fun. So you learn like what to buy at the store. You learn like how to do this, and like also how to do it outside. Cause like at home, you're like, oh, you just pull the butter out of the fridge, but like, we have coolers, or like, this is how you like melt the butter. Like how, I don't know why I'm stuck on butter, but like, this is how you do all of these things outside. So that's far as like the meals go, that's how we do that. But then we also get, our wilderness first aid is like the basic level of first aid that you need. So like mm-hmm. CPR, you learn how to use an AED, and just like basic first aid so you can take care of people. And then another level of that you can get is your wilderness first responder, which is what I have. I got that last season. So it's a, like an increased level. So like you can learn how to like get a helicopter on the ground, or like you can learn how to like just like help people get to whatever emergency care that they need, which I really loved. The people that Western brought in for us to do that were awesome. And I learned, it was probably the best first aid course I've ever taken in my life. It was also fun because we were doing it with all of our friends, so it was easier to like learn. And then also we do swift water rescue training. So like how to rescue people in the river, which is super, super important, especially when you're a guide, because that people fall out of boats. That's just how it goes.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then as far as like the other tours, like canyoneering, like vertical rope rescue, you need to get that and all that kind of stuff. So we go through a lot of training, and you have to run like the section of the river before you can guide it. So like you have to go down Desolation Canyon once, Cataract Canyon once, and then Westwater and the daily section you have to do 6 times. So we do like a back to back, just like cranking out all those numbers, and it's really fun because you just get to run the river a bunch. So yeah, you have to see the canyon, you have to have all these certifications, and then you can guide. And then as far as like learning how to row or like how to captain mm-hmm. a paddle boat, that all kind of like comes, like there's ways, like the basics of how to do that.
Yeah.
But I think it's really cool because every guide has their like style. So there's stuff that works for me that like might not work for another guide. And especially like the difference between like some of our guides are like 6 feet tall. And then I'm sure you met Piper. She's like not 6 feet tall, but she also rocks. So it's cool. Like you learn these basic things, but everybody has their little like flair that they put on it. Mm-hmm. And so that's really fun. But yeah, training, there's a lot to learn, but also you continue to learn as you continue to guide, which I think is really cool.
Hannah, this is incredible. You're like in your early 20s. And you have all of these certifications, even food handler's permit. I mean, that's a lot. To be able to cook for a crowd is a huge life skill, huge. And there's all those different recipes that the guides are making. I just thought, my goodness, like they're going to throw the most amazing parties because you know how to make all this stuff for a lot of people. Even the shopping part of it, I didn't realize, would that be something that the guide would do? I remember someone was saying like there's a whole part of the staff. Well, this is an interesting part too, Hannah. So we're talking about the guides, right? We're talking about people that work at the center that are helping people book their trips, and there's a whole storefront there. And then someone was saying there's something like people working in the kitchen, or they're helping. There's all sorts of ways that you could get involved, right? Like there's got to be someone that's organizing and mm-hmm. figuring out how many people are coming and how much food do you need to bring. who's doing all that?
Yeah, so we've got a gal at the boathouse who is in charge of most of like our bulk food, because we have a lot of the food for trips we order. So every before every trip that goes out, she's looking through the list. She's Sandy. She's the best. But she looks through the list and just makes sure, looks at dietary restrictions, make sure we have like substitutions for that. She works with the Salt Lake office who books the trips.
Yeah, well, because that was a whole thing. Mm-hmm. They were fantastic about food allergies. I had forgotten about that. Yeah, what a thing. What a cool thing that if you had the opportunity, you were in the right stage of life or not in the right stage of life and you want to try something different, that you could come and there's a lot of different entry points to things that you could do there. I thought there was horseback riding. I mean, there was all sorts of options for adventuring in Moab, and you hit it on the head when you said, you are this integral part of people's lifelong memories. It's a huge deal. Wow. You know, forever, forever, they're going to remember you and the things that they did on your trips. It's absolutely incredible.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play. And we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Brie.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Brie, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down.
Or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model, so that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun, so check out the No-Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.
Okay, let's switch gears a little bit.
Okay.
So beyond the Moab Adventure Center, you are going into an outdoor career.
Yeah.
I didn't even know these existed. So tell us what you're doing at college, Hannah.
Yeah, so I am at Utah State right now in Logan, Utah, which is 5 hours north of Moab, just for, you know. But I am in a program called Outdoor Product Design and Development. It's a pretty long name. But basically what it is just designing outdoor gear. So all of the stuff that we use on our tours, or all the stuff you wear when you go outside, even the water bottles you use, the tents you set up, all of that stuff is yes. Oh my goodness.
I didn't even think about it. You have, but I have one of mine.
You have your water bottle.
It's right here. Goodness. Okay. Yeah. All the things.
Yeah.
And I interrupted because I got excited about my water bottle.
That's okay. I get excited about water bottles.
But I know the ones from the Moab Adventure Center are really cool, because there was that one. You would get one for water or lemonade, and then another one that was insulated. Actually, this was my bummer. I guess I must have missed it. Every morning there was coffee, and then also there was hot chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think I realized that until a couple days in, and I was like, oh, I've been missing that hot chocolate every morning. But you have, an insulated one for that, which is so cool. Okay, so outdoor product design, what is your favorite? What do you lean toward? This is a cool thing I want to learn about, or I would love to design this. What kind of products do you really love?
Yeah, so it's kind of hard because there's so much.
Yeah.
But what I'm really drawn to, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of funny to try and explain it, but like I'm into like fixing stuff. Like if you have a hole in your climbing pants, like I want to fix it. Or if you have like a puffy jacket that has a rip in it and feathers are flying out, like I want to fix that. And then also taking like gear and things that have like, people are like, I don't want this anymore. They're like, oh, it has a rip in it. I can't use it anymore. And turning it into something else. Like a lot of people call it upcycling.
Mm-hmm.
So like taking like an old tent and just making like a bag out of it, or taking like your climbing pants, like that might be like torn to shreds, and then using that fabric as a patch for like different pants. Like, I just think it's really cool to be able to give life to the stuff you already have. And I don't know about you, but I think especially because I'm an outdoor, like I'm outdoors all the time. I'm a gear nerd. Like I just like grow bonds with like the stuff that I have. Like I just have like old hats and like all these old jackets. And so when it like ripped, it kind of like, you're like, oh no, like my favorite jacket is ripped. Like, and it's hard when you're like, I have to go buy a new one, like all this stuff. But there's actually ways you can just like fix what you already have.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also kind of like, the last thing I want to do is just like make another t-shirt. Like the world has so many t-shirts and so many rain jackets, like, and shoes, like we're good. Like, I think we got it. But I think it's really cool to be able to take the stuff you already have and then fix it. And whether that's like a piece of clothes or like, I do love working with like metal and wood. Like I love all those hard good things. Like it's fun to just like fix stuff. Two of my friends and I right now are taking a blacksmithing class. So we're learning how to like do all that stuff, which is really cool.
Wow.
And I just think it's really cool that like college has given me these opportunities to like just discover things that I like to do. And then also just given me this cool degree that's so, I feel like very specific, but very broad at the same time. But yeah, as far as like what I love, I just love to fix stuff because it's fun to like problem solve and figure out how I can do stuff with the stuff that already exists. But yeah.
I love that. Well, okay. So then are you good at sewing?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm good, but I can do it. I can do it.
Do you think that someone would have a company where you could just send in your, and I think Patagonia does it, or some of the bigger companies might, but you could send in your thing and get it fixed and sent back?
Yeah, Patagonia is kind of like the head of the parade in this kind of movement of fixing your stuff. Like they have a worn wear.
Yeah.
Like section department where you can buy people's old stuff or you can send your stuff in to get fixed. And it's really cool because a lot of other outdoor companies are starting to follow that pattern now.
Okay.
So like, I think North Face has one, like Bedrock Sandals and like Chaco, you can get like your shoes fixed. Like you can resole them. So like if the sole falls off or it gets like the tractions done, you can send it back in and they'll fix it for you. So yeah, it's kind of like starting to pick up and lots of other companies do it. And I think especially in Utah, there's a bunch of little like gear stores that are starting to put like a gear repair section kind of in their store, which I think is so cool. And just because again, gear nerd, but it's cool to just see it blow up.
What would be your dream job post-college?
Ooh, that's so hard because my heart is like, I want to stay on the river forever.
Well, and some people do.
Yeah, I know.
Right? I mean, some people do stay for a long time. One of our guides was 27, and there, some of the conversations were around that a lot of people, not a lot of people, but maybe some people go from these Utah rivers to the Grand Canyon. And that's, you know, like one that maybe a lot of people go to as they get older, but they don't want to give up that career. And then some people follow the whitewater. I've heard of that, you know, where they guide.
Yeah.
Possibly even around the world, seasonally going to different places. But it's an interesting thing. Like you could do it for quite a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I definitely like, I want to keep rafting in my life forever. I actually bought my own boat this summer, which was really exciting. So I have my own boat now.
Wow.
So I definitely want to keep that aspect like in my life because like I was talking about before, like it's taught me so much and I just love it so much.
Yeah.
But as far as like a dream job, I don't know if I have like one picked out. I think as long as I'm doing something that like I like and I feel like it like makes me feel like I'm doing something that's like has purpose to it, whether that's working at a gear repair shop or like helping people with like adaptive sports, I think is something that's really cool. And I'd love to like help people who want to get outside in that space. But yeah, as far as like a dream job, I don't know if I have one like picked out right now.
Now, what a cool program that you're in, though, Hannah. I think when I was graduating from high school, I just didn't have a good sense of the amount of different types of jobs that were out there. And so, and people listening maybe may not know as well, or maybe they do know, but it's really neat to hear you talk about what you're doing now is something that's extremely exciting and memorable and get you off screens and get you outside and interacting with people. Mm-hmm. And that also there's these programs at college that just have a similar thread to them. You know, you'll forever be dealing with people who are trying to get out into nature in whatever capacity that is, but working with the gear because you do need gear to do a lot of the different things, not everything, but a lot of the things mm-hmm. that, you know, people do outside involves different gear. So, I mean, what a neat thing. People are going to be so inspired. And I think if they have kids, it opens up their mind to different possibilities that are out there. For someone who is like on the fence, will be like, okay, you know, there's no way I'd be able to do whatever, X, Y, and Z. Take a group of strangers down a river. Take a group of strangers really to do anything. How would you sell someone on guiding?
Ooh, I would just tell them, like, it's the best thing you'll ever do. And it's hard because it'll make every single other job so boring. But I think it's just an opportunity for you to grow yourself through incredible experiences. And like the amount that I have gained from guiding and just being a part of that has been incredible in the way that it's shaped me as a person. And I think also something that's cool is like you guys talk about like being off screens. And I think it's so beneficial all the time because I feel like you don't need it when you're out there and you just are more in tune with yourself. I think maybe like this is just me personally also, but I just feel like I'm feel more whole as a human being when I'm guiding. And especially just even like being outside and doing the things that I love, even if it's just like with my friends and not with a group of strangers that just hopped off a plane. Like, I think it's so integral to who I've become as a person to be able to do not only the things I love, but continue to be challenged and grow doing those things. Yeah, it's the best.
Aw, what a statement. The best thing you'll ever do. What's interesting, Hannah, that I noticed as well was that when you do new experiences, it opens up the door to go back and do something similar, like you said, on your own, to get your own boat. I remember when we went canyoneering that the girls were talking about that's what they were going to be doing that weekend, that they were going to go, but then they knew all, where all the spots were and they knew how to do it and they knew how to do it safely.
Yeah.
So there's that whole piece of it too, that by doing these hard things, you open up for the rest of your life knowledge that you can take into all sorts of other situations. So for example, our daughter, when we came, she was 13 and she learned that she really loves that canyoneering. So if we go any other place where that's an option, where it's available, she already knows that's something that she really likes to do. For myself though, I had a hard time with it, but she learned that that's something that she loves. Okay. And this is how it happens. You have to be able to try stuff in order to know. And so I did think that was really interesting because people were canyoneering in our spot. We were with a group. We were with Moab Adventure Center, but other people were coming on their own and doing it just with their group of friends. And so there's that whole benefit too. Mm-hmm. Hannah, what a cool life you are living. What an inspiring life. It's just, it's truly, I think people are going to be so intrigued and it's really thought-provoking to realize that there's a lot out there that you could do with your life and a lot of opportunities. So I so appreciate it. It's been such a treat to get a little bit of the backstory of being a guide at an adventure center, what that might be like. And once again, huge congrats to you. You're, you know, one of the elite few who got the job, and that's a really big deal. So absolutely incredible. Maybe we'll catch you on one of our trips. We're definitely planning to come back. So maybe we'll get to be paired up with you on one of our trips. It would be really cool. And we would just hope that you would remember us. That's a big thing.
Oh, for sure. No worries.
But Hannah, we always end our podcast with the same question. And the question is, what's a favorite memory from your childhood that was outside?
Ooh, I don't know, again, if I can like pinpoint a specific one, but I was actually scrolling through like a bunch of my photos the other day, and I was just looking back at like all these experiences I've had outside. And I think I was super blessed growing up that like my family was very outdoorsy and we just wanted to be outside all the time. But I just remember all of those times being outside with my family. We're just like always happy. And I think it's definitely been a really big part of who I am now. But there's just always been a soft place in my heart for being outside with the people that I love. And so I think just being outside as a kid was something that just built me. And then also being with my family outside again just grew those bonds. But yeah, I'm a sucker for being outside.
What a thing to say, that all of your memories that surround being outdoors were happy. Actually, that takes me to one last question, because I want to tack this on.
Yeah.
Bringing up your family. Does your family get nervous? You know, I'm thinking about as a parent. So, you know, our oldest is 15. He's just 2.5 years away from being 18 and could be guiding a trip. I mean, it seems pretty wild. Has your family been nervous? How has that gone? You know, do they check in a lot? How has that transition been for them?
I think my mom has been like, yeah, I worry about you, but I know you got it. So I'm like, thanks. So I think they're aware that I'm out there and they know what I can do. And it's been really cool to see, like, just as like an older person, it's cool to like have that really cool relationship with my parents where like I'm out here doing crazy stuff and they just allow me to chase my passions. But I definitely like, I'll text them before I leave on a trip, and then I text them when I'm back. So I keep that like communication with them, because I also want them to know I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
But it also comes to like a point where I'm like, I also trust my skill, but it's nice to have like a home team back home that's like cheering for me too. But I mean, I know they worry, just because as a parent, you worry, but yeah. I hope they're not scared while I'm out there, because I'm having a blast.
Aw, I mean, what a thing. I mean, they have to be okay with going 5 days without hearing from you at all, which is totally something that no one experiences anymore. And I don't know, there's a whole thing, absence makes the heart grow fonder, and so it's a neat experience all around. Hannah, I so appreciate you taking the time to come and inspire us and to teach us about all the opportunities that are out there, things that people can do. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. And I hope I see you this summer. Come play.
Yes, I hope so too.
I'd love to see you on the river.
It'd be amazing. Yeah.
Oh, hey, everybody.
It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory. Two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck.
And this is our new podcast, Unsticking It with Blair and Molly. What happens when your creative spark just seems to disappear? Gone. Poof. Bye.
See ya.
What happens when life gets in the way of your creativity instead of nourishing it? That's what happened to Molly and me. We felt like the thing that drove us creatively stopped working, and impending doom had in fact impended.
Totally. So we decided to do something about it. And that was steal ideas about getting unstuck from the most creative people we can find. We talked to guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders.
And we're not just talking Bob Ross type paint on paper artists here, though we talk to them too. We're talking to actors, creative directors, dancers, and people who are working hard to be their best creative selves in a world that can sometimes feel real uncreative.
We all have something to teach each other, so let's steal their ideas together.
Join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom. Pandemics, school calendars,
world events, lack of sleep. Oh, get out of their life gunk.
And let's get back to your best creative self. Subscribe to Unsticking It with Blair and Molly.
You're not going to want to miss an episode.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks. Unsticking